Welcome to the Deeper Life Bible Study, coming to you from Identity Church in Deltona, Florida. Now let us hear the expounding of the Word of God, a now word for this moment. So grab your Bible, sit back as we delve into the Word of God and hear the Logos and Rhema Word.
You're lucky I'm teaching tonight and not preaching, because I'd be preaching, I'd be lost without my hands. You know, I'm a salesperson. I'm in salesman and retail sales. And you know, I have yet seen an effective salesman not use their hands. So, by grace, you are saved tonight. Now, I get to sit down, and this is not preaching time. This is teaching time. It's been years since I've taught about this or talked about this in front of the congregation, any congregation, for many years. But it's also a subject that's dear in the ministry, dear to my heart. And many times I think back in Revelation, and it says that to the church of Ephesus that you've lost your first love. And I know they're talking about Christ and about God, but sometimes I take that and I've said it to myself, because I am not doing what God has anointed me and appointed me to do. And sometimes I do feel like I've lost my first love. Like I've been in the desert. But you know what? I'm not worried about it, because I'm back. And we are putting the demons on notice that this church is going to be a church of deliverance, a church of healing, a church of prophecy, a church that's not afraid to go out and prophesy the word of the Lord, lay hands on the dead, and they shall also rise. And I know we all go, yep, sure is, as we sit on our hands, and we hope that someone else does it. So we can say we're a part of that church. This isn't even my... Thank you, Diane. Thank you. She prayed for me, said, let it go. I said, okay. So, but before I start, I'd like to read something I heard today. I don't know if you've heard of Graham Cook. Well, Graham Cook says that warriors live from the inside out. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. That warriors live from the outside, inside out. And I started thinking about that, and I'm just talking and going, wait a minute, Lord. Isn't there sometimes that things happen on the inside that we need to take care of so we can live from the inside out? And yes, we all need it too. Just because we're in these four walls and we're in the Word, Satan is sly. He's deceiving. He's lying. And for some reason, we actually believe him. What's up with that? But before we start, I want to explain something about our deliverance ministry and how we got started. But I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to let my bride explain it, because she was there too. And it was pretty awesome.
We had started a home group, and God started bringing us people off the streets into our house. And this young girl had come a couple of times, and she asked to receive Jesus. So us being all excited, we all made a circle around her and laid hands on her and prayed for her. And suddenly this huge voice that is a man's that I could not reproduce says, "You cannot have her." And we were all paralyzed completely, because we had nothing, you know. We were thinking we were really ahead of the game with being able to speak in tongues. But, you know how God is. He's going to throw you straight in the deep end. So we're all just holding each other's hands, praying in tongues, absolutely terrified. That was the beginning. And then we lived very close to Manitou Springs, which is a huge occult area. And they would drop the witches at our door on our cell group night and send them in and drive away and told them they could not leave until they had done damage. So we had a lot of manifestations in our home. And, you know, I worked very hard to have demons not manifest. Never works for me, ever. We were in a Presbyterian church, and the order was no deliverance. You're just going to pray for people, and, you know, we're just there to just be support. So I've got this group of women around me, and I said, does anybody need prayer? And this woman says, yes. And I put my hands on her. She hit the floor, slithered across the room, and began to bark. So we have learned, and sometimes it never looks like that at all. Sometimes it's really gentle. Sometimes it's loud. I've come to learn that God does whatever he wants to do, and freedom is freedom. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the person, because most of the time they don't even remember that that happened to them. So you can't judge on this side. You have to love. You have to clearly know who you are. Clearly know who you are. You have to clearly know who the Holy Spirit is in you, and you have to know your authority.
Do the prayers before
talking? That's funny. We had some people come to visit our church and sat in the back row. They are patients of ours, and they came in to get their glasses adjusted or something, and she came around the side of where the desk I sit at and said, can I ask you a question? And it's personal. And I walked up to her and said, of course you can. And she said, do you know, does your church do deliverance? And I thought, oh, you're so funny, Lord. Timing is always right there.
That might be a sign.
Thank you, dear. All righty. So from the home group, which it's so funny. I keep on seeing Kathy up there at the church, and the pastor, he graduated from Denver Seminary. I mean Dallas Seminary. So straight lace, and while they're manifesting, she's going, "Stop it! Stop! I'm not supposed to pray. Stop it!" And it wouldn't. So we were in a church about, at that time, 8,000. And we got an assistant pastor that came in, and he was from Nigeria. But he spoke with an English accent, and he was about as big as, he was huge. And he goes, I'm having a deliverance class. I'm like, oh, different, I'm going to learn. So we went to the deliverance class, and there must have been about 100 people there. And he's up there, and he's talking about deliverance, and he's talking about starting a ministry. And he said, if you have any questions, just ask Miss Eva, which I never knew before, and Gary. And we both looked at each other and said, what? We don't know anything about deliverance. What are you saying? So someone started manifesting and start running around, and they grabbed him. I got decked from his wailing hands. But from that day forward, I was in love. That I knew where my ministry was and still is today. And I don't want to go and be at the gates and say, you could have done it. You could have been well done, my son. I am well pleased. So after that time, we learned about it. We did it for years. Every Tuesday night, anywhere from, then we had mass deliverances were a couple hundred. But there was always 15 to 20 people every week, 4 hours every week, 4 hours every week. Then we got a new team member. And it was kind of nice to get fresh blood in there that goes, that don't know anything. We can throw them to the, you get this one. Well, that individual happened to be Karen.
Well, my story of how I came into deliverance is so different from what Gary and Kathy experienced, because I grew up in the church, and so I had this great revelation of the majesty of God. And at a young age, I was filled with the fear of the Lord, and I had a wonderful understanding of Christ, my Savior. But I was not taught a thing about the Holy Spirit. And the only thing I knew about the devil was that he deceived Adam and Eve, and Jesus wasn't tempted. He was tried, but he didn't fall into temptation. That was kind of the extent of my walk until I prayed this prayer, Lord, there has to be something more. And the next week, I was invited to a spirit-filled cell group that happened to be part of the church that Gary and Kathy went to. I was introduced to the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was like I had a dimmer switch, and all of a sudden, the light came, and more light came. And then I realized, so this has been the problem. I have an adversary, and he has tried to stop me my whole life. A righteous indignation rose up in me, and I joined the deliverance team. And one of my greatest joys is we had an intercessor that worked with us, and she would say she'd see people walk in for ministry, and then she'd see him walk out, and she says, it's like they got a Holy Ghost facelift. Their countenance changes. The light comes in their eyes. And from that moment on, I was sold, and the Lord gave me a new garment. What woman doesn't like a new garment? The bride of Christ is now a warrior bride.
Thank you. Thank you. So tonight, I was praying about, I had several things I was going to talk about, but God told me no. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to basics. Basics, just like Dan said Sunday, that what we got to do is we got to go back to basics, just like in football or any other sport or any endeavor in life. We got to go back to the basics. So tonight is going to be really simple. So if you're looking for this great revelation and all this wisdom coming out, sorry. But I tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you some basics that you can go back to. And when you go back to, it's just the beginning. Because we are starting our ministry back up, and the three of us are going to be the ministry for right now. So we are going to be doing training. We're going to be talking about deliverance. We're going to be doing deliverances, not only for this body, for anybody that needs it. So this is going to be the house of deliverance and a house of freedom, because that's what we believe in. That's what we stand for when we're in front of you. We're not in front of you to say, oh, look who I am. We're in front of you to look and say, who are you? Who are you? Who's Christ in you? You're not who you think you are. Did you lose your first love? I don't know. But like Karen said, when people left, you'd see the freedom in their eyes. And there's nothing, nothing more rewarding than to see someone come in with sorrow and so filled up. And you can see in their eyes that they're demonically oppressed. I don't care if you're, say, oppressed, depressed, impressed, suppressed, possessed. I don't care what S you use. Is as long as you come in here with a willing heart and knowing that you're going to leave with freedom. Would you like that? Would you like to see that for this whole church? I know a couple pastors in here would love to see that. But see, a lot of people have, I grew up very basically. Didn't have a lot of money. So what I had to do is I had to get the simplest thing I could and make it work. And whenever I started deliverance, I started reading through the scripture. What did Jesus do? He didn't have a 12-step program. He didn't have a questionnaire. He didn't even ask questions. Once, Legion said, what is your name? He just wanted to prove to everybody else that he had the power to make the demon talk. I believe that the best role model you can ever have is Christ. And if Christ says, rebuke and come out, guess what I say? I rebuke you and come out. I'll get on my knees. I'll do anything for you. But so many of us, we had this thing of basic. What's basic? You mean to tell me I went through years of college, I got my degree, working on my master's degree, and I'm not supposed to figure things out? Well, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we have to go back to the basics. And I've asked myself, well, why? I said I was sitting tonight, and I haven't sat yet. But I'll get there. Could it be just they live with it because they don't know how to go back to basic? And they believe this is how it's supposed to be? How sad that you can live a life and you think this is the life you're supposed to be living because nothing's working. And that's another reason that people know that they can change things, but when it doesn't work, guess what they do? They quit. Whatever the reason, it's not a good one. There's no reasons about not going back to basic. So whenever you do find yourself in a position to where it's just not working, go back to basic. Go back to the Word. Go back to Scripture. Go back to prayer. Go back and submit to somebody. Go back and tell the pastor or someone that you trust that I can't do this anymore. Get rid of the pride. Because it's not healthy. So as we go back to basics, we're going to go back really far into basics. And that is the War of the Ages. Does anybody remember what the War of the Ages was? You understand about World War I, World War II, the American War, Civil War. No one knows what the War of the Ages is. It's happened ever since before time. You see, when God created, or when God was the I Am, he had dominion and he had authority over that. But what happened? Lucifer, his name was Lucifer at the time. He decided, you know what? I can do a better job. I'm going to lift my throne higher than God's throne because look who I am. See, that's right there started rebellion. And the story's in Isaiah 14, 12 to 5. We know that he got booted out of the kingdom, don't we? And where'd he go? Does anybody know where he went? You better look next to you. He might be next to you. Because we know where he's at. But then he gave dominion to man through Adam. And what happened? Satan was there. And what does Satan do? He took dominion back and he took authority back on this earth. And thank God for Jesus. This is pretty basic. I know you've heard this before. Don, is this basic? It's so basic. It's basic. It's basic. But we had a Savior. That he came and he regained back what Satan and his goons stole. It was at the cross. You see, but let me ask you this. If Calvary actually defeated Satan, why is it that he continues to have so much power on the earth? And if Jesus actually destroyed Satan, and Calvary is actually a victory, why don't we see more victory in our lives? See, Satan knows he was defeated. And the only thing that he can do is lie, steal, deceive, use fear, and trickery. That's all he does. I remember when Jesus went back to heaven, what did he do? He said that all authority and dominion is given to the believers in the church. Saints, we have this dominion and authority in us. And then what did he do? He knew we couldn't do it, but he sent the Holy Spirit with the power. Power. Dunamis power. I had a vision. I only had several visions in my life. And this vision, talking about power, I was laying on the floor in the church. We had a 24-hour prayer center. And I'm laying there, and I'm just chilling out, listening to music. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand. And I felt this hand go like this, come with me. And I'm flying. I'm soaring. And I'm going like this. I'm going, oh, my God, what's going on? What's going on, Jesus? He said, don't worry. Don't worry. But then it stopped. And I went, oh, my God, what happened? It got quiet. It got still. It got peaceful. I said, Lord, what happened? He said, all that time that you were soaring through space and through air, you had the Holy Spirit. I said, but when you got into heaven, you don't need it. Because I'm here and he's here. No longer do you need it in you. He's beside you now, just like you are with Jesus. And I thought, wow. I said, Lord, is that what's true? He goes, yes. And the point I'm trying to make is, while you're on earth, use it. Because you do have the power. Thank you, David. You do have the power inside you. But what do? Here's what I believe one of our problems that hinders us from experiencing victory. One of the greatest difficulties is that we so easily slip back into our old pattern of thinking and wonder, why is the battle still going on? The sad point is we all do it. There's not one of us in there that doesn't slip back into our own habits. So why did God let this happen? He could have put Satan away completely. And it would have been finished. But I believe that he has chosen us to be proven and also to be on the job training for overcoming. Why? Because the crown belongs to the conqueror. And without an adversary, there would be no overcoming and no conquerors. See, it's due to our stinking thinking that we sometimes allow Satan to threaten us and oppress us or depress us or impress us or possess us. Again, any possess you want. See, unfortunately, we sometimes unconsciously lapse into our old life of fear and defeat. See, we need to see us as we were. We see us as we were, not as we are. We got to start seeing us who we are, not who Satan tells us we were, but who we are in our hearts, in our spirit, knowing that Christ is in us. Christ is in us, but yet we walk around saying, like, thinking that, why is this happening? No longer do I ask why. Why is it? It's not a question anymore to me, to God. It's, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do? And that's scriptural in Acts. See, rebellion, that's what's going on. We're rebelling to submit ourselves completely to God, take back the ground Satan and his hosts have stolen from us. But how do we do that? How do we do that, David? How do we say, I want it back, Lord? I want it back. I'm going to get back to the point whenever I remember that your first love was more important than anything else in my life. He goes, expose what's going on. I said, what, expose? What do you mean expose? He says, exposure. Exposing the enemy will stop the rebellion in your life. See, there's three, I believe that there's three portions of deliverance. One is a pre-deliverance, which is exposure. The second part is the actual deliverance, where you're puking in a basket Oh, what? You want me to puke in a basket? I remember the first one I did, and I'm not going to mention any names, Brad, but no, it wasn't Brad. I'm only kidding. But the first deliverance I did here. What's that for? Rodney was there. Rodney had his first experience of deliverance here. And I said, don't worry, you'll be using it. I ain't doing nothing with that basket. I said, really? Good. 20 minutes later, he was about halfway down into the basket. Bleh, bleh, bleh. And I was going, I thought you weren't going to use the basket. That's why we had the basket. Now, some people don't believe in that. It doesn't matter. I don't care. But all I care about is freedom. So let's talk about this pre-deliverance, because that's all we're going to talk about tonight. I got 2 more hours. Is that okay, Pastor? Sure, I can do that. In Mark 1, 23 and 24, it says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. In Mark 1, 23, 24. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Now, here's this unclean spirit in the synagogue. What the heck is a spirit doing in a synagogue? They're religious. They can't be oppressed, suppressed, depressed, impressed. They're believers. See, demons would rather do their work without being noticed. Don't tell anybody. They definitely don't like to be identified, nor do they want to leave. They want to stay, David. Why? It's kind of nice and warm and cozy in there, isn't it? Yeah. Cried out, let us alone. Why would Jesus want to do that? That's silly, demon. You exposed yourselves, fool. See, they made a home and they're really cozy within their environment, causing havoc. See, what has happened in the church today has been happening too long. And many pastors are turning the deaf ears into the cries of their sheep. On the other hand, some are teaching their demons under every rock. I don't care what you believe. You need to find a balance. It is my conclusion that the massive scale of demonization in the world, it's a great indication that there's not enough teaching in this area. How many times have we taught deliverance here? About that many? Been here 4 years? That's odd. Changing. Putting you on notice. Spirits. Putting you on notice. Changing. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Changing. Do you hear me? Changing. Yeah, everybody's going, yeah. In the back there, going, oh. Here it goes. See, it's our responsibility to understand they're not to be left alone. Or else they'll continue to operate unhindered in the lives of many. But see, there is a caution. Sometimes teaching on the demonic realm and deliverance could cause manifestations of the demons that are lurking in the dark places. I think I'm teaching on deliverance. Oh. Don't worry. There's no critters in here. We're going to leave them alone because it's the church. But you got to be careful, because when you take on the responsibility of being deliverance, that's a great responsibility. You got to be ready. You got to be prayed up. You got to understand, because I'll guarantee you, you have to handle the situation. Because there is going to be manifestation. Let's look at the sun. Oh, these exorcists went out and going to try to do it in whose name? I don't know whose name they were doing in, but what did they do? Anybody understand? Does anybody remember what they did? The sons of Sceva? They ran away naked and whooped the original streakers and still possessed. See, even though we have the responsibility in the Great Commission to cast out demons, you better be ready. Or unless you're going to be one of the sons of Sceva. And I've seen it happen. I've seen that many, many ministries folded because it was about me and not about thee. And that can happen very easily. Now, what else did he say? What did the demons say to the sons of Sceva? Paul, we recognize. He says, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize. Who are you? This is a little side note. When I do deliverance, I use scripture. Amazing how that works. Novel, isn't it, Pastor? But here's how I do it. I say, demon, Jesus you know, Paul you recognize, and I know that you know me. And they honor that because they know that they know me. They know where my heart is when I'm standing in front of you and knowing that it's my responsibility being the vessel for your freedom. I don't take it lightly. I don't care if I'm there 5 minutes, 5 hours, a week. I spent 1 week with the one of the soon-to-be, at that time, president of Guatemala and his whole family. Three pastors came in, one from California, one from Ohio, one from Las Vegas. The father and the mother flew in from Guatemala, and we spent a week. I tell you what, it's amazing how many people are out there that all they have to do is say, I need help. I need help. Exactly, and I'm willing. So this is under all of the pre. What are we talking about? Pre-deliverance. What are they called in the Bible? They are the what? Rulers of what? Of where? This world. The word says this world. No other world, but this world. Well, seeing that they are rulers, could we assume that the level of authority that demons have to operate in is proportional to the amount of darkness in one's life? Would that be fair to assume? And I know some people will say, watch out using that word assume. It makes a out of you and me. But I'm going to assume that because I've seen it. And it's hard when you recognize and you see something to say, it doesn't happen. The more the darkness to operate, however, there is a solution. There is a solution. It's called light. When the light appears, darkness is dispelled, and their power is broken, guaranteed. It says in Ephesians 5, 13, 14, but when anything exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. There it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Man, how many of us go around and just say, God, I'm not hearing from God. Just look in the mirror and say, Christ, you shine on me. Therefore, I am the light. And I don't care what I see in the mirror. I am the light. Satan, get behind me, as he said. Get behind me because I don't care what I see. I believe in the word of my God, my Lord and Savior, that he says, if he is in me, therefore I am in him, therefore he is the light, therefore I am the light, therefore I turn myself on. How many people turn yourself on the light? No, we go around, sure have an hard day. Nothing working my way. Did you ever find a light switch? See, when I say this is going to be basic, this is basic. And the little things that I tell you, just remember, when you're having that tough day, look at your light switch. And I want you to remember that light switch is the light of God that you can turn on and off whenever you want it. So go to your light switch and turn it on. Then go to the mirror. Now we can see why demons want to be left alone, can't we? I know there's some people out there that says Christians can't have demons. I know that that school of thought's going around. I'm not going to discuss that. I'm not going to discuss that at all. So we're going to go on. Let me tell you why I'm not going to discuss that. Okay, can I share another story with you? Has anybody heard of Jack Hayford? Jack Hayford out of California. Huge ministry. Well, one of his elders or somebody in the church came up with this. What was the name of it? Cleansing Stream. Did anybody go through Cleansing Stream? I did. Karen did. And come on, Kathy, you can raise your hand. Yeah, there you go, Kathy, because I was with you. I know you were there. And then we had this couple. We went through one time. Then we had this couple said, you know, I wish I wouldn't have went through Cleansing Stream. I said, listen, we'll go with you. For a second time, that's 13 weeks of these videos. You sit there and you go, right or wrong, I'm sorry. Great work, Jack. But we go there the first day. Guess what? They never showed up. So we're sitting there committed another 13 weeks of watching videos. And then at the last week, they bring their team in. That's good. We're going to have a mass deliverance here. So they line them up and they say, anybody had the spirit of so-and-so and so-and-so, get up. And I thought, you know what? I can have a little tune up here. I think I do have that little bit. So I get up and I stand in line and I'm waiting for all these people to come by and go up. And there's about 15 of these men and women standing up there. And all of a sudden I hear, go to the girl on the right. I went, oh, okay, she must be powerful. And I'd look around and who said that? So I'm walking up in line, yeah, here. Go to the woman on the right. What? No one's talking. No way. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I do deliverance. And I'm Satan's talking to me? He's in me? What the heck's going on here? So when someone tells me Christians can't have demons, I either think you're a liar or I wasn't a very good Christian. So I get up and I'm first in line and I'm thinking, woman on the right, I'm playing along by now. He's taking complete control. I'm going, woman on the right, woman on the right, woman on the right, woman on the right. It's my turn. Guess who's available? The woman on the right. And I'm going, yeah, I'm going to have fun with this one. And I'm thinking to myself, this ain't me. This is not who I am. So I start going, yep, let's go. And all of a sudden, I feel this. And it was a guy took me to the guy at the end. I went, oh, my God, what happened to the woman on the right? Say, you lied to me. He goes, no, I didn't. Watch this. So this guy's standing in front of me, and he has his eyes closed. And I'm going, what? Are you afraid to look or something? He starts praying. The demon goes, you're weak. And I'm saying this in my voice to the guy in front of me. I said, you're weak. He's up there just praying and praying. I said, you ain't got no power. He still has his eyes closed.
You're doing this?
Yes. The demon's doing it. And I'm going. And this guy keeps on praying with his eyes closed. And I'm just laughing. And there's like 14 other people up there, and there must be a couple hundred people there. And I'm just laughing at him. And he finally opens his eyes. He goes, his eyes got about that big, and he, help! Help! Well, two other men came over and grabbed me and took me out. He took care of the demon. So when I say to you, be ready, you better be ready, because I don't care what anybody says, I lived it. I lived as a Christian with a demon possessed in me and verbally spoke, and I know it wasn't me. I might like to showboat, but I ain't going to showboat that much. And I'm not going to accuse somebody, but I know for a fact that he was in me, and he made me do this. So we go back to Proverbs 11:9. See, it answers all this, and it says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. It's just not cast out demons. It says in Proverbs, it says, through knowledge. You see, we need to know that the lack of knowledge leads to blindness, darkness, and destruction. And also it says there, it says that what? We will lose our priesthood. He says, you lose your priesthood to me. And I'm going, I've never seen this before, and I've been in deliverance for years. It's been 25 years I've been in associated. I've never seen this. And let me read it to you. So, and it's actually, this one's in Hosea 4:6. It says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. Wow. That's pretty strong. So are we going to walk around here lacking knowledge? I'm not. Man, I'm going to be digging. I advise you need to be digging if you want to be a priest to your God. It's not Gary speaking. It's a word speaking in Hosea. I don't care if it's Old Testament or New Testament. See, we will be destroyed in the spiritual realm through the constant attack from Satan and his goons. Those who are ignorant of the demonic and the deliverance will be left in the dark and under the authority of the enemy. And those with knowledge will be in the light and not under Satan's authority. This is real simple. Light destroys darkness, and knowledge destroys ignorance. Remember in Proverbs 11:9, it says, knowledge brings deliverance. And I know for myself and for Karen and everybody else associated in deliverance, deliverance brings freedom. And that's what we need. Just think, if God would have snuffed what was going on in heaven and not allowed the spirit of rebellion to rear its ugly head through Lucifer, we'd be lacking two things. Anybody know what the two things are if we would have stopped Lucifer from rebelling? What do you think they were? Jesus would never have had to come to earth and be on a cross. He would never have had to go suffering and be beat for our sins, because there wouldn't have been rebellion. And we never would have to go through deliverance either. That would be kind of cool. So I'm going to close on this. You know, we could have had all lived happily ever after if that would have happened, and not worry about a thing. But it didn't. So thank God for his love, and thank God for Calvary. Thank you, saints.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church.